The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, ladies, for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. And I know we've had a lot of preliminaries tonight, and so I'm going to be mindful of that as I speak tonight. But I want you to see a truth tonight as we go back to Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 17. The Bible says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And then they come back in verse 18 of Daniel chapter 3, and they say, but if not. So they're about to make a statement that shows the boldness of their faith, that shows exactly how they stand in their relationship with the Lord. Because you see, standing for the truth was more important to them than very life itself. So the Bible says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want to speak to you in the allotted time that we do have tonight on the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. Because you see, before they could take an outward stand in such a bold fashion, they had to take an inward stand. Before there was an outward seeing of the decision here, there had to be that which was a solid decision here. We have to understand that when a person lives one way out here, it's because they've already decided how they would live, stay with me now, in here. When you came to church tonight, it wasn't because all of a sudden it was a fluke, accident, or something that you did not purpose. You came to church tonight on purpose. Where you sat tonight when you did come in to find a seat was on purpose. The people that you talked to on your way in was on purpose. The people that you do sit beside tonight is on purpose. On purpose tonight, when the preacher said to open your Bible, you did or did not. When the man of God gets up and he begins to preach the message, on purpose will you attentively pay attention or will nonchalantly not pay attention? There are those that will talk during the preaching, and there are those that do not talk, but yet they give their attention to the Word of God. Both of those types of individuals tonight are making a decision on purpose. There are those that will decide to come to an altar tonight and pray, and those that will decide not to come to an altar tonight and pray, and both of those decisions tonight will be on purpose. The friends that you have outside of the church is on purpose. The friends you have inside of the church is on purpose. The things that you say from your very own lips are on purpose. And by the way, everything that I've said so far or anything else I would say that would be done on purpose is first done inside of the heart. Because if we make heart decisions, then those heart decisions would direct our paths. I want to give you four type of hearts that's seen here tonight, then we'll go. And I want you to follow along in your Bible tonight, and that way you can maybe take some notes, or maybe at least you can see from the Word of God these four different type of hearts that's described on the very pages of God's Word. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3 and in verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, the king sent to gather together the princesses, the Bible says, and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs. The Bible says, and all the rulers of the provinces to come, it says, to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. So there's a reason for this great gathering. It's a dedication day. It's a dedication day when Nebuchadnezzar is going to set up that which is a golden image. And we understand this, that he is beckoning all those to come. The Bible says in verse 4 that there are those that came from the nations. And the Bible talks about how they came from different languages. The Bible says in verse 6, and whosoever falleth not down and worship the Bible says, and worshipeth, it says, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And so there's the decree that is passed that not only am I going to set up that which is the golden image, but I'm telling you that I'm expecting you to bow down to that golden image. The Bible teaches here that he was expecting all those that he had summoned to come to this dedication day, that at the sound of the trumpet and other instruments that's involved, he expected those people to drop to their knees in the form of worship and to bow down before that which is the golden image, if you would please, that would be typically identifying those that are gods of that day. Now, can I tell you, the Bible says, in verse 7, therefore, at the time it talks about that all the people heard the sound. And so now all these instruments are going to be blown. And the Bible says that when they hear the sound of these particular instruments, and the latter portion of that, he said that the people and the nations and the languages fell down and worship, it says, the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, what does that identify? I'll tell you what that identifies tonight. That identifies a very weak heart. And there are those that are at church tonight. There are those that are interested in maybe helping out in some areas. And they dive in, but they don't stay steadfast in that area, because all of a sudden there's some opposition that comes up. There's some stance that they have to take. There's some purposes that need to be lived out, whether that is at church or whether that is on the job or whether that is in the community or whether that is the family. And those that bow down to that which is the world, and those that bow down to that which is the flesh, and those that bow down to that which is the ways of the devil, and those that bow down to that which is not right, can I tell you that identifies them as having a very weak heart, because they're bowing down to a king. And can I tell you, you do have a king. Now, you have to decide who your king is, but you do have a king. Everybody in here is going to bow down to somebody. Well, not me. I'm not going to bow down to anybody because I'm my own boss. Well, then you just recognize tonight who you're bowing down to, you. Now, there's only one person tonight that we ought to bow down to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not your opinion that matters, it's his opinion that matters. Amen. It's not what you think is right tonight, it's what the Lord God says tonight that is right. When you're with God, you're in the majority. When you're without God, you're not even a part of his majority. And I would be rather being in the presence of God and be right by God than to be snared by that which is the fear of the people. Can I say tonight that there is those that when they heard the music, when they heard those things that was being played, those instruments that was being put forth, immediately, without hesitation, no doubt there were some believers in that group that simply decided that I'm going to bow down because of the fact I do not want to take a stand. And by the way, we need a generation today that does take a stand. You take a stand in the way that you talk. You take a stand in the way that you dress. You take a stand in the length of the hair you have. You take a stand, if you will, please, in the things that you be able to put upon your body, the words that comes out of your mouth, the music that you listen to, the places that you visit, the places that you don't go. Everything about you tonight is testifying who your king is. So we have to decide tonight, who is our king? Who is the one that we will bow down to? These were bowing down to that which was King Nebuchadnezzar's golden graven image that was set up, and they decided, purposed it before it ever came out here, it was done here. Before anything that you ever do comes out here, it is purposed here. Here's what we see, four hearts tonight. Statement number one, there's the weak heart. Statement number two, there's the willing heart. Notice in your Bible, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, it says, in his rage and fury commanded. Now understand this, that when you don't bow down to that which the world sits up, can I tell you, it may infuriate them. Why don't you like my music? Why didn't you laugh at my dirty joke? Why didn't you come in late? You're making us look bad when you're showing up early, and all of us have agreed that we're going to cheat and steal from the company and come in late. Why is it that you're going to be honest on your income tax? We've never been honest, your co-laborers say. Why is it that you're coming in and you're always smiling? Don't you understand that we have a mean, unintelligent boss? Can I say tonight that as you purpose in your heart, it will come out, and sometimes we see weakness being displayed because there's a weak, bowing down heart. Statement number two, I said there's a willing heart. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, look at it in verse 13 as I started to read, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Look at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true? Is it true? Now, doesn't the world do that to us? Well, do you really mean that you believe that? I mean, why is it that you're doing that? I mean, why is it that you're living that way? Why is it that you feel as though that is wrong? Why is it that you're taking such a bold stand? And by the way, when a Christian takes a right stand to a lost and dying world, it may look like a bold stand when really it's not a bold stand. It's a common stand. It's a stand that God wants us all to take, but to a world that is full of infidels, and a world that is full of people that are antichrist, and a world that is full of things that are measured by the success that a world sets instead of the success that a God sets. Do we understand there's a different measurement? And so your willingness might look like a bold stand, but in God's sight, it's not a bold stand. It's average. Now watch this, if you will. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I mean, how is it, is that true? Now, I love this because there's a Bible principle here. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, three. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Can I tell you, in living in a world such as we live in, it is extremely difficult to live for God. But why don't you decide, as a young person inside of your house, to encourage your mom and your dad and yourself to live for God, because a threefold cord is not easily broken. Why don't you decide, as somebody that's in the dormitories, to decide that us three are going to serve Jesus Christ? Because a threefold cord is not easily broken. You can conspire with one and bring one into your wrong to do one, but can I tell you, when there's a third party involved, when there's somebody else involved, hopefully somebody will have the common decency and the biblical stance and the honesty to be able to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. And so the Bible talks about that threefold cord. Now watch this in verse 15. The Bible says, now, if ye be ready. So he's coming back again. Now, aren't you ready to change your mind? Aren't you ready? Come on, now, just change your mind a little bit. And the world would do this to you over and over again. They'll keep knocking. They'll keep knocking. Well, I know that we used to practice this biblical principle in our house, but we're not practicing this biblical principle in our house, and why don't you give in? Well, I know that that which is the neighbor goes to church all the time, but I tell you what, it really bothers me, and Dad and I, we've decided that we're not going to go to church all the time like that anymore. And if you want to ride, then you go with that which is the neighbor. But as for us, we're going to stay home, and we're going to have pleasure, and we're just going to do whatever we want to do. And the world just keeps knocking. By the way, just because we have a Christian school, I do not believe that our children have halos. Just because we have a Bible college, I do not believe that all of our Bible college students have halos. So why do you say that, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because we all have a flesh. Some people decide that they're going to please the flesh, while other people decide they're going to control their flesh. Some people decide they're going to do whatever feels good. Those people normally go out and they'll go to bars. They'll go out and they'll sip liquor. They'll go out and they'll do drugs. They'll have premarital sex. They'll do all sorts of stuff. Because after all, if the flesh feels good, I'm going to do it. But can I tell you, not everything that your flesh is dictating to you should you do. Because those things that the flesh will dictate to you, you've got to stand up and you've got to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my stand. I'm going to be an individual that is willing to obey God. And if it comes to death, it comes to death. But I will take my stand for truth and right and righteousness and godliness and holiness and purity. And I will do what is right by God. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out, watch it now, talking to the king. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. These guys said, I just want you to know something. We believe that God is able. God is able to deliver us out of the burning, fiery furnace. And God is able to deliver us out of your hands, O king, that is in charge of the burning, fiery furnace. But then they come back and they say, but if not. Now, I like that. Well, if it doesn't work out for my benefit, it's okay. Because truth is better than that which is compromise. So they come back and they say, but if not, if the church grows, praise God, but if we do not compromise, it would be better to stay small. Hello. Why? For your sake, for your children's sake. There has to be somebody that says it doesn't matter what the outcome is. It doesn't matter what the end result is. Truth is truth. Principle is principle. Right is right. God is God. Let God be true and every man a liar. And we will not decide to compromise God's way in order to be able to get our own way. Watch what it says. Here's what it says in verse 18. It says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So now, look, God is able. God is able to deliver us. God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. God is able to deliver us from that which is your hand, O king. But if not, in other words, if God chooses not to, it's okay. If God chooses not to deliver me, I'm fine with that. Let God's will be God's will. Sometimes we will force the issue. We would say, well, let me tell you, this is my will. This is what I want to do. Who cares what you want to do? Why don't you let God be God in your life? Well, I'm at Bible college and I'm having a hard time. Well, I love you in the Lord, but good. Because in Bible college, as you're facing your fiery furnace, that's where God is making you into becoming somebody. And you've got to learn to stand. Don't give up while you're in the fire. But I'm teaching a Sunday school class, and it's hard. But God bless you. But stay with it. I'm on a bus route, and it's hard. But God bless you. Stay with it. I'm pastoring a church, and it's hard. But God bless you. Stay with it. You stay with God in the fire. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible teaches. look at it, there's that which is a weak heart. That which is a weak heart will eventually come out. Well, I need to do this because I get so sick of hearing this. And let me chase my little rabbit trail. It's only a little one. But I get so tired of hearing this, I feel. I feel that this is the will of God. Yeah, and you got boogers up your nose too. You can't base the will of God on a feeling. What about the Word of God? What about getting down to where the rubber meets the road and you finally decide, this is what the Bible says, I'm just going to believe God. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, preacher, if I do what I know God wants me to do, it's going to be hard. I can see this. Can you see this? Oh, King, I want you to know, we're not going to bow down. But please don't put us in that fire. Because if you do, I'm going to call Mama. Mama's going to be so upset. You don't see that. Can I tell you that they probably did not even give a rip? By the way, they're going to get victory either way. Somebody says, what if I live for God and I get killed? Oh, wow, heaven. What if I live for God and I get persecuted? Oh, wow. Heaven. Hello? Look, can I say this tonight? There's that which is a weak heart, that which is a willing heart. Statement number three, there's that which is a winning heart. I want you to see this. Look at verse 19. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Now compare that to verse 13. Verse 13, he did not get his way. Somebody is going against him. And the Bible says in verse 13, it says, in his rage and fury. But now, somebody is still not giving in. Somebody is still taking their stand. Somebody is still doing what is right. The Bible says in verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. So it goes from being a person that has fury, that they're in control of the rage, to somebody else now, same person, that goes into full fury, and the full fury is controlling them. More heated. See, when you first start to have a temper, you control it. But after a while, if you don't get a grip, it controls you. Hello? Bible says, and he commanded, now watch this. And it says, commanded that they, the latter portion of that verse in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 19, commanded that they should heat, it says, the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, than it was made to be heated. They're going to heat that thing up so much that it's going to endanger everything. I mean, he is so mad that he is making an irrational decision. He is making a decision that not only placed these guys in danger, but face and place everybody else in danger that is a part of this thing. Right. Now watch this, if you will. Verse 20, the Bible says he commanded the most mighty men. Now he's not just commanding the mighty men. The most mighty men. He is picking the mightiest, the strongest out of the strong. The most mightiest men. You see, the devil says, well, I'll try to lure you this way. But if I can't lure you this way, then I'll try and lure you this way. If I can't lure you this way, then I'll try and lure you this way. If I can't get you that way, then I'm going to recruit some other people that might even put hands on you to get you to a place where I can totally destroy you. Because you understand tonight, friend, that if the devil can destroy you, then you are no use to God. He's good at painting good pictures. Can I ask you about the good picture he's painted in your life? Is it going to make you more spiritual? Are you going to be a greater soul winner or less of a greater soul winner? Are you going to be more accountable or less accountable? You know, I find out the people that run close in contact with their flesh, they want less accountability, not more. Because that flesh doesn't want to be accountable to truth. Doesn't want to be accountable to an authority that obeys truth. You know, and the more that a person surrenders to God's will, the more pliable they are. Lord, what can I do to serve you? Lord, where do you want me to serve? God, I'm willing to do anything. God, you can send me to the mission field. If that's what you want, I'll go. But sometimes we will get ideas in our head about the way that we want to serve God, and then we try to press God into our little capsule so that we can serve God. I mean, after all, I'm serving God. That's not the point of the matter. The point of the matter, are you where God wants you to be? Now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 21, the Bible says, and these men, says, were bound in their coats, and many times the devil will use your own things to be able to wrap you up and cause you hurt. The Bible says, and these men were bound in their coats and their hosen, their hats, and their other garments. And by the way, back then, many times these men that would travel from countryside to countryside, they had a sack, if you would please, or they would have a roll of different types of garments that they would wear. They had to put on more garments in the evening times. It was colder. They had to put on more garments in the early morning hours. It was colder. Many of them would have bed wraps they'd wrap themselves up in as they would fall asleep underneath a tree somewhere. And so what they did is they opened up these wraps and their other garments that they had, they put all these other garments on them as well. The Bible says, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, and the flame of the fire slew those that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now these are these most mighty men. These are men that have strength beyond the compare of other men. And so they grab them up and they throw them into the burning fire. First, verse 23, the Bible says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, it says, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Let me encourage your heart a little bit. There's going to be a day when all of a sudden the heat from your furnace, the pressure of what surrounds you, becomes so great that you feel like you're going to fall. And by the way, can I help you a little bit? You may fall. These were good, godly men taking a stand for God, and the pressure of that which was surrounding them caused them to fall. They did fall. Now, by the way, you can fall, but you ought not stay down. You can go down, but don't stay. Old Brother Roloff used to sing, run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up. If I fall down, I'm going to get back up, for I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. You have to decide that you're going to stay in God's will. You have to decide that if it's worth living for, it also should be worth dying for. Can I say tonight, there's the weak heart, the willing heart, the winning heart. Let me give you this last thought and I'm done. The wishful heart. I love this one. There's the wishful heart. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. And he rose up in haste. He didn't just ease out of his chair. He jumped out of that chair. He rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Watch what happens in verse 25. The Bible says, and he answered and said, though I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Preacher, I'm going through it. I just don't know if I can make it. Stay in your fire. You let God build you. You let God keep you where you're supposed to stay. You don't decide you're going to jump out for more luxury, less accountability, more comfort. You decide you stay in the fire. You let God work in your life. You let God work in your life, he can change you. And by the way, only in the fire did the Son of God show up. Only in the fire. Remember those other boys outside? Bound, and no doubt some of them were believers. Remember those other boys? Brother Palmer, can I use you? You got good knees. Yeah, kneel down there, watch this. Those other boys are out there, still bowing down, if you will. They're bowing, go ahead and bow down, not to me, but just bow. Now watch this, if you will. So they're still bowing down, watch this, if you will. They're not seeing all this. They're not. He calls the counselors. He calls those that were part of the very leadership of the fabric, if you will, please, to come and look at this. But can you imagine this? Thank you. Get up, if you will. Watch this. Here's what it says. So all of a sudden, the king rises up in haste. No doubt he hears a rumor. So he chases the rumor. He goes down and he peers his eyes into the burning fiery furnace. And he says, well, now wait a minute. He's thinking in his heart, these old boys, they should have been burned up. And as he looks into the burning fiery furnace, there's not one, there's not two, there's not three, there's four. And that four is likened unto the Son of God. But preacher, you understand, it's hard. Now, I love you in the Lord. And if you're having a hard time, I feel for you, and I'm not making fun of you. I love you. I'll cry with you. I'll pray with you. I'll walk beside you. I'll try to encourage you. I'll try to be the best friend you've ever had in your life. If you would allow me to, you got to walk beside me and to me, not from me. But I'll try and help you every single step of the way. But can I tell you, one of the worst things you could ever do in your life is you decide what you want to do. Rather than God allowing the fires to be able to help you. Watch this, if you will. The Bible says in verse 27, the Bible says, and the priests and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair. Watch this, an hair. You notice how God gave us that? Nor was an hair, not one hair. It says, of their head singed. The Bible says, neither was their coats changed. It says, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like they'd been in the fire. Not one time. Verse 28, the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel to deliver his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, and that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. Therefore, verse 29, I make a decree that every people and nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says, shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no God that can deliver after this sort. You realize you might be in your fiery furnace tonight, not for your sake. You realize you might be in your fiery furnace tonight for somebody else's sake? It might be you're in your fiery furnace because you got a future spouse that needs to hear a story to be challenged, to be able to go forward. Might be that you're in your fiery furnace tonight because you have a friend that one day needs encouragement to just stay with it and just keep going. Might be tonight you're in your fiery furnace, not for you. You might be in your fiery furnace tonight for someone else that's watching you. And they're watching just to see if you'll make it. Hello? They're watching just to see what it's going to take to stop you. And can I tell you, the devil will stop at nothing. Stay with me tonight. The devil will stop. Stay with me tonight. The devil will stop at nothing to stop you. Look, he don't care if the liberal churches keep going. He's already got them. Let me tell you the churches he wants to stop. He wants to stop the churches that are getting out the gospel. Let me tell you why the devil rides your back so heavily tonight. Because you're in a place that he is smacking against you over and over again. No wonder. You say, well, I thought if I got saved, it would be okay. I thought if I try to raise my children for the Lord, that everything would be all right. No, you're kicking against the pricks. And it's hard, if you will, please, as you're kicking against the pricks, not of the Lord, but of the devil. When you're kicking against that which is a wall that has been set up, that's tried to destroy you and tried to stop you, it's going to be hard. But you still have to decide to be a godly person. You still have to decide to go forward. Hello. Somebody says, well, let me ask you a question. Did you ever have a hard time? Well, yeah. Well, what'd you do? Well, I quit. What a testimony. What a shame. What a disgrace. Well, did you ever have pressure? Well, yeah. What'd you do? Well, I ran. Isn't that what everybody does? They run? What a shame. What a disgrace. Well, my friend did not stand for God, and my friend didn't stay. My friend didn't do this, and so I guess I just need to follow my friend. I see who your king is. Can I say tonight, the Bible talks about how it changed the king's heart. Verse 30, and I'm done, last verse. Then the king promoted. Wow. They went from not bowing to being thrown into a burning fiery furnace. They went from coming out of the burning fiery furnace to having their God elevated above all other gods. They went from coming out of the burning fiery furnace to having their God elevated above all other to now the king passing a decree, and the king says, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. A Babylon. Not in a holy place, an unholy place. Not in a place that was known as seeking God, but in an unholy place. If God can promote somebody in an unholy place, then pray tell me tonight, why can't God promote you in a holy place? Now listen to me tonight. There's four hearts. Here's my question tonight. Which heart do you have? Which heart do you have? Do you have that weak heart? Do you have that willing heart? Do you have that heart, if you would please, that decides that it's going to be a winning heart? Or do you have the wishful heart? So what's that wishful heart all about? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine? All those guys that bowed down. Get this. This is so good. Way to wrap it up. This is so good. All those guys that bowed down. And all of a sudden Shadrach, and they made fun of them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Go ahead and stand up, Brother Butler. Stand up right here if you don't mind. Can you imagine? Here's a representation of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm one of these guys that's bowing down. And I say, hey, get down. What are you doing standing up? Get down before they see you. What are you doing? Look, all of us are bowing down. We're believers too. Just go ahead and bow down with me. Hey, it'll be okay. Nobody will tell your mama. But now that she's here, she'll see you. Hey, come on, get down. All right, no, wait a minute. And they just continued to stay. Now, can you imagine? All of a sudden, he's thrown into the burning, fiery furnace. Then God brings him out. And I'm looking up and saying, and he's promoted. He's promoted. Now, by the way, can I tell you, there's only one person. All promotion comes from above.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Well, you know, so-and-so's mad at me. What am I going to do? Live for God.
Amen.
Pick your Bible up and go forward and serve God. Why? Because promotion doesn't come from man. Promotion comes from above.
Amen.
And so all of a sudden, he's brought out of the furnace. And here I am, I'm thinking, oh, Man, wish I was promoted. Wish God would have used me. God can use you. If you have, and you keep the right type of heart. It's a choice tonight. But who you are in here will be revealed out here.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.